it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we are back again. The WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Cowboys week. It's banner week. Football is back. Ike, how you feeling, brother?
Brother Spike, I'm doing pretty good. There's a lot going on this week. I'm excited. You just said it. Football is back. The
yes.
Vikings got off to a great start yesterday out in Milwaukee.
Come on,
man. We got Nikki Six today on the show.
Yep.
Man, come on. Jackie Baseball? Lucky for you, they got off to a good start yesterday. Well, they didn't get off to a good start. They had a great finish that game. How about you, boy?
Well, I didn't know it was banner week. Is it banner week?
Well, yeah, Nick doesn't know.
No, the players know.
Nobody knew.
It's good. And Spike, I'm glad to see you made it on the show after the fasting week.
Yes.
Yeah, that's over.
I'm feeling good.
Although you started dumping out your water and didn't realize it for 5 seconds before the show. So good to see that you are alive.
I made a mistake. And if we're being honest, fasting week may have been my best week on
may
the air
been,
here
yeah.
as a host. I was dialed in.
I'm in favor of that at least three times a year.
Yes, dialed in. Don't get in my way during fasting week. It is a big show today, as it should be. Elliot Shore Parks with the first official Tuesdays with Elliot of the 2025 Eagle season. That happens at 3. Nick Foles joins us at 4 o'clock. Nick will be out at an event on Thursday night. We will talk to Nick about that at 4. And then we have Joe DeCamera in studio on the show at 4:30 as we try to firm up the rules for the final Fritz versus DeCamera showdown, which will be basketball next week. But, you know, DeCamera's done this whole thing with free throws and all that sort of stuff. So we'll have Lakin in here, and we will have DeCamera in here at 4:30 try to figure out the rules.
That ought to be...
Try to figure
Sparks
out...
Sparks will fly for that one, I'm sure.
By the way, try to figure out the rules for one-on-one, as if we don't already know what the rules of one-on-one is. It's DeCamera's making this difficult. So, you know, it's Cowboys week. Figure we start off talking a little Eagles-Cowboys here.
Sounds
and
good.
It hit me this weekend. So, you know... I've been, I guess, probably more skeptical than most about the Eagles offseason.
No shocker.
And I was going into this game, I'm like, oh, maybe this is a dangerous game. Maybe this is a dangerous game. And it hit me over the last few days. I don't think this is a dangerous game at all.
Uh-oh.
I actually think the Eagles are going to obliterate the Cowboys on Thursday. I just think there's
I'm
just being honest. Let me get to it here. I think they're going to crush them. And I think not only is there a giant talent gap, but there's the parts like they finally hit the point that the Cowboys finally have hit the point where this Jerry Jones thing has just sort of started to like unravel.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like you can hold it together anymore. And while I'm glad that I think the Eagles are going to win, and I'm glad that I think the Eagles are better than the Cowboys, I do wish that it wasn't like this. Like, I wish the Cowboys were better. I don't think I'm enjoying this fully unraveling of the Dallas Cowboys. Mm. And here's why I think about it. So I was thinking about the Commanders last year. Like, all of a sudden, the Commanders were good, and that rivalry felt fun again. The games felt like they mattered.
Yeah.
We could argue with Commanders fans, and it felt fun, right?
Yeah.
Even the Mets right now, even though they are my worst nightmare.
Yeah, that's not fun.
But it's kind of nice.
Yes.
I think it's kind of cool that the Mets are good the same time
matters,
we are.
Yeah.
So there's like, and then I compare that to take the Cowboys out of it for a second, compare that to the Giants. Here is the rivalry that you always thought was
the
true rivalry.
Yep.
Doesn't feel like anything at all when we play the Giants. And like this
should be. Although that may change this year.
It could. I think that they'll be a little bit better. But I'm thinking about Thursday night. Here we are unveiling our Super Bowl banner on Thursday night football against the Dallas Cowboys. And there should be this huge sense of satisfaction. I don't feel it at all because the Cowboys are nothing. And I actually don't like that the Cowboys are as bad as they are. I wish the Cowboys were good so these games actually meant something and I could get up for them. I don't like bad, horrible Cowboys.
Well, do we have Cowboys. That'll help you out.
Well.
you said a mouthful over there,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I understand the premise of what you're saying. The games are more meaningful when both sides are good. I will say this. We destroyed Dallas twice last year, but I don't believe Dak played in either game, right? He certainly didn't play in the last one that was here.
No, he didn't play in the second one.
Yeah, and the first one, they destroyed him. I don't think he was there for that either.
I can't remember if Dak played in that game or not.
I don't think he did.
No, actually, I think it was right after he got hurt.
Okay.
I think it was right after he got hurt, yeah.
So that certainly takes a little bit of the juice away as far as how meaningful and the intensity that goes into the game. But I tell you one thing that never changes. The love of seeing defeat and hurt on any Cowboy fan's face. That never changes. Quite frankly, in my 7 years of playing here, 10-4 against the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, 10-4. We curb stumped them every year, except for my first year. We pretty much curb stumped them, and we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it, and you know what, Spike? While it'd be great coming into the game with the hype on the Cowboys side, and they I don't know if I agree with you about Thursday's game, but I'll get to that. I don't know if I agree with you about the way Thursday's game is going to play out as far as dominating the Cowboys. That's what I'm saying about is dominating the Cowboys. But getting a victory against them, even in sort of this day and time, Spike, we went through a lot of years of hearing about those stinking rings that they won in the 90s.
Like 30 years ago.
I know, but they were still bragging about it when we didn't have any. Even though they hadn't won in 20 years, they were still talking about their rings, and we were the only team in the division who didn't have a ring. That has changed.
Yes.
And you know what? And now we are the sort of standard bearer of this division. Now that we have rings to support and validate the dominance that we've had for the last 25 years. Right? Since 2000.
Right.
We've dominated this division. We the Giants won two, and we won two over the last 25 years. But the Cowboys, even though they've been mostly irrelevant when it comes to winning championships, I still hate this whole America's team nonsense. The fact that the Cowboys remain relevant only because of their commercializing of the product.
And
right.
By the way, I don't even know how much longer that's going to last.
Well,
like at a certain
been going
point,
for a long time.
Yeah, at a certain point, if they're not good anymore, I like.
Well, when do these Cowboy fans go away?
But I don't ever hear from them anymore. We have Jim, and that's
he's
it.
A bit. He doesn't even do the Cowboys thing
anymore. I don't
even
think he likes the Cowboys. So if
I think he's an Eagles fan.
215-592-9494. Do you wish the Cowboys were a little bit better? I would say this: if I could press a button and have the Cowboys be competent once again, I would choose that.
Just
for the competition.
Because I want to make sure you don't sound like you want the Cowboys to be better or good because you like them.
No.
Okay,
because in the 90s, the last name went through a run with the Cowboys.
Yes, I know the last name did. I know. But that's not what I'm talking about here.
Right.
It's not because I want them to win. It is because I just feeling the Phillies-Mets thing last year and this year, I'm like, man, that's a rivalry. And it's there because they're both good. Even the Commanders, it came out of nowhere. I honestly cannot remember a time when Redskins fans and Commanders fans were chesty around Eagles fans. But all of a sudden, it happened last year, and it made those games fun.
Yeah.
And like, it just feels like, and I also think the amount of Cowboys fans in this area has been, there was a whole wave of them that are about our age.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Grew up with them on TV all the time. But now that every team's on TV, I don't even feel the Cowboys fans in the, I don't think there's a lot of like 20-year-old Cowboys fans in Philadelphia.
Unless you're a dad who's forced your kids to be Cowboys fans.
Bad parenting.
Let's think about it. Even those Cowboy fans that were there in the 90s, a lot of them grew up with that America's Team Cowboys.
It was them and the Steelers.
If you're a kid that grew up from like 2000 to now or 05 to now, why are you a Cowboys fan?
Right.
You're a Patriots fan.
No reason to be a Cowboys. You're more likely a Patriots fan.
Yeah,
or a Chiefs fan.
Or a Chiefs fan.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have like that bandwagon thing for Cowboys fans.
That's true.
Anyway, so I think this week would be more fun if the Cowboys were good. And I
agree with that.
And I honestly think the next we could be in for a period of the next 5 to 7 years where the Cowboys just sort of falling apart. If he doesn't sell the team, he's uninterested in, like, this whole Micah Parsons thing was a really big moment, I think.
Yeah.
Because it used to be the thing where he could play games, he could screw over agents, he could screw over players, and at the end of the day, he would say, you know what, I'm going to pay you anyway.
Right.
And being a Cowboy is that valuable, you're going to stay.
Yeah.
And Micah Parsons and his agent said, you know what, it's not. Yeah. We won out. And it was the first player that
still
actually
surprised by that.
Yeah, that
I'm
really
surprised by that.
Stood up to him. So 215-592-9494. Do you wish the Cowboys were at least good to make this week more fun?
I don't feel good about laying 7.5. I'm just telling you.
I do. They're gonna win by 3 touchdowns. They are. I'm telling you.
3 touchdowns.
It's gonna be like you know what it'll be? It'll be a 37-20 or 37-17 game.
Wow.
I truly believe
I hope
that.
You're right.
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
I had the moment this weekend. I'm like, oh, they're going to obliterate.
Was that after you started eating again?
Yeah. The Cowboys don't have enough good players.
When you fast, you have clarity.
Yes.
You started eating again, and you went straight to the Eagles blowout. Yeah.
You started foaming at the mouth when you said it, too, right?
Yeah. Bro. Got him. I don't care if they go 2-15 as long as the tour against the Cowboys. All right. 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus here on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Woo! Hey, we back, baby!
We're back, baby!
Hey, we back! Hey, because you know, listen, this is just a continuation because I'm used to putting foot in Texas teams. You know what I'm saying? Ike Reese! You know what I'm saying? This is just a continuation of what's going to happen. I don't care about it. Listen, Cowboys, Commanders, listen, they all cute stories and all that. We got one thing in mind. We ain't going to be out there for the banner to be dropped. Like, what? Like, we move on. I kind of think that they doing a little bit too much, you know, but it's like we focus on what the task is at hand, and that's to win another Super Bowl. The Cowboys is another team on the schedule. I get you like rivalries. NFL, we don't got rivalries, you know. Baseball got rivalries.
No, the NFL has rivalries. That's not true.
They do, but it's not. But everybody friends now. Like, it ain't like it used to be. Like, everybody, like
well, who's
like,
that? Who was that? AJ? Who said? AJ said that, right?
Did he?
About the Cowboys rivalry.
I don't know if y'all heard the CeeDee Lamb clip where he was like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna watch the banner. You know, I got brothers on that team. Got love for my boy Jalen. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, how you gonna get love for the other quarterback when you about to play him? Well, you don't do that.
They were teammates for a year in Oklahoma.
What I'm saying is, if you a rivalry, you don't do that.
Yes, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it ain't really no rivalries no more. I get it. The Cowboys is a rivalry, quote unquote. But we don't care about that. Jerry Jones, keep doing what you're doing. But this is what I will say about Thursday night's game. Everybody, what y'all worried about? The secondary? Listen, let me tell you about the secondary.
I am a little worried about the secondary. Yes, I am.
But let me give you a little something, right? We done had, Darius Slay. We done had, Bradberry. All these guys, all pros, backups. CeeDee Lamb done gave all of them work, and they still put up L's. So I'm not worried about them. You know what I'm saying? The defense, Saquon put 167 on them? We put 41 on them with Pickett and McKee. Right?
Yeah.
Now, you know.
Interesting.
Michael Jordan back on the court. Michael Jordan is back. Not the Michael Jordan. The Chapel Bill. You know what I'm saying? Not that Michael Jordan. We talking about Michael Jordan of the Super Bowl MVP.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, the guy that's on a mission this year, you know, MVP of the season coming up, Michael Jordan.
Okay.
My score is, I'm going to give y'all a little score on the way
it's
out.
It's Tuesday.
No, no score yet. No score
yet. Don't do it yet.
It's Tuesday. Right. Yeah, no, we got to host. We got two more shows to
you
do.
Right, you're right. I'm hype. Hey, also, hey, on the way out, Joe Montana. That's all I'm going to say, Joe Montana.
Yeah, we heard.
Shut his hole.
How many people got to tell y'all before y'all believe?
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Two noodle arms. Of course they appreciated it. Yeah.
He's called Joe Montana a noodle arm.
He had a noodle.
Yeah, and by the way, like, this is the only four quarterbacks he could remember. He's never been a good interview, Joe Montana. No offense to him. But, you know, every list you come up with is valid. Every list I come up with is valid. Whatever. All right. There he is. Quarterback. Yeah, Joe Montana said of the four quarter. What was it? Four quarterbacks.
Yeah. He could start a franchise.
Start a franchise.
Yeah, no Mahomes or Lamar on that either.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah, no.
Now, that was a shot at Mahomes somehow.
Yes. Of course it was.
Yeah, yeah, because Mahomes is the only one currently in danger of
passing Joe Montana.
Those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Those guys get very, very defensive.
They get defensive, yeah.
When that stuff happens.
Joe's like, hold on. I was the GOAT for the longest now.
Yes. No one even brings him up anymore.
They don't even bring Joe Montana up anymore.
Well, he's on a super team. And he couldn't go left, just
Do
like Jordan.
Do you think Mahomes has passed Joe Montana?
No.
No.
He's a better physical quarterback.
Yeah.
Without question.
For sure.
Joe Montana was undefeated in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Joe Montana, I think, 16 touchdowns, one interception in the postseason in those Super Bowl runs.
Right.
Pat Mahomes' two worst losses in the postseason. Joe Montana never experienced that in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, and as people get older, it's the same thing that happened with Jordan. As people get older, they didn't watch the it's very easy.
I mean, Joe was the standard, remember all those years.
Yeah.
It was Joe Cool.
Yeah, that's who you wanted to play with in Madden.
Yeah.
Those Niners in Madden were always awesome.
And I think he's a little protective of that.
Yes, I think he is.
So he's a little bit at Mahomes. That loss to us, for me, that did a little damage to Mahomes' overall resume.
I think it did nationally, too. I would agree, yeah. But which is why I'm a little scared of them this year, because I think
motivated.
He probably feels that. Yeah. 215-592-9494. Sean in Florida. You're on WIP. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me up.
Hi, Sean.
What's up, Sean?
Hey, just a couple points that I wanted to quickly make.
Yes.
Kind of across the board. So one of the things I found interesting, I was listening to the morning show earlier today.
Well, I'm sure you didn't hear anything interesting there.
Ooh, boy.
Was it during a commercial break?
Yeah, it was during a commercial break. Right, yeah, okay. Great commercial. So one of the things that they were talking about, which I found really interesting, you know, I was in the camp when Nick Sirianni first joined the organization as the head coach. He seemed like a clown.
Yep.
I didn't take him seriously. Now what we're doing is we're taking a look at how he conducts team meetings. There's accountability.
Yep.
There's roles and responsibilities announced in those team meetings. And we're looking at the Phillies and saying, we want the same thing to occur because there's clearly a lack of accountability in that organization. It's just funny how that's sort of changed a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we talked to Coach Sirianni 2 weeks ago, we said the same thing. I think all three guys on this show have done 180s on Nick at different times.
Yeah.
It took took me, but like I also think there's a difference in how he carries himself.
Yes,
and
agreed.
You know, this guy who he is today was always inside of him, but it wasn't until over the last couple of years
developed.
That he
evolved into that.
And he is humble enough and wants to get good enough. A lot of times you get guys in that situation, they think, well, I'm a head coach, everything I've done must have been right up until this point, but Sirianni doesn't feel like that at all.
Yeah.
And it, you know, now you hear quotes from players that he gives them. What did he say last year? Last week, there was a quote he told the players: "If you think you were the reason we won the Super Bowl, you're right. If you think you're the only reason that we won the Super Bowl, you're wrong."
Yeah,
and like come on, man.
Yeah,
he's like a Nick Sirianni a day quote a day calendar or something. I completely agree with you. We were, and by the way, I don't think any of us were wrong to question it in the beginning.
Sure.
You know,
I'm happy to be wrong. I mean, I'm very happy to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the other thing I wanted to quickly pivot to, again, listening to a little bit of the morning show this morning, I think Joe actually has a fair point. Just give me 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
About what? So, the free throws?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh, so just give me 30 seconds.
Okay.
Just 30 seconds.
All right, 30. Start the clock.
So if Fritz is such a better athlete than a guy who is 20 years nearly older than him,
mm-hmm.
he shouldn't be worried about entering a basketball game and having it come down to fouls and free throws.
Okay.
I don't think what Joe is insinuating, saying, hey, draw a line in the sand, maybe it's 3 fouls, 5 fouls, then we figure out something. I don't think there's anything unreasonable about that. Fritz should not have to foul him to win the game.
Okay, well then, if Fritz is such a... First of all, remember it was Joe that made this challenge, not Jack. It was Joe who said he's a better athlete than Jack, not Jack. Remember, it was Joe that started this. That's first thing. The second thing is, if Jack is such a better athlete, then why doesn't he just play with one hand tied behind his back? Like, why don't we change all the rules to make sure that they... this is not how do we make this more competitive for Joe. If that was the idea of this, we would have done all of it a lot differently. But it shouldn't be that. The point is that Joe said, I am a better athlete than Jack Fritz, and I will beat him in this. If that is the case, then we should play normal one-on-one rules, not with free throws. It's ridiculous. When have you ever seen free throw shot in a one-on-one game?
But I think there is room for compromise in most situations. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to hash out something that neither party is 100% happy with, but they can walk away with and say, I can live with that.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
So then Jack should play without sneakers on. Because he's
exactly.
a much better athlete,
exactly.
right? Like,
exactly.
I thank you for the call, Sean. This whole thing where we're trying to make it more, we're not trying to make it more fair with this. Joe's trying to make it easier for him to win, not make it more fair.
Yeah.
And I don't buy the whole thing. Whoa, if Jack's such a good athlete, Jack didn't start this.
If any, like,
Joe
again,
started it. You don't even want to do it.
I know. How I've been portrayed on the morning show is just unbelievable.
Yes.
Every day. You know, big, soft, fat moron.
Yeah.
I just want to go play basketball.
Yes.
I'm not getting chesty. No. I'm going to kick your ass. Like, what are you, five?
One-on-one
basketball.
Like,
we play basketball one-on-one your entire life.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's easy.
Well, one-on-one basketball is a little chesty.
Well, yeah.
It's mono and mono.
Yeah, I mean, you should scream in his face when you win.
The too small?
Yeah. Yeah, do the too small thing.
Yeah.
I love the too small thing.
Love it.
215-592-9494. Do you wish the Cowboys were better? I wish they were better so we had real rivalry. Coming up next, a team that's playing pretty well after a horrible series against the Mets, the Phils. We will get into it next in the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the way that I want to WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel online at marks-jewelers.com. Are you enjoying the Cowboys' futility, or for the fun of the rivalry, do you wish they were better? So here are the two options, Ike, in the poll. You're enjoying their futility, or you wish the Cowboys were better for the sake of the rivalry.
A big word, by the way.
Yeah,
how
futility?
About that? Yeah.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Do you think that confused the voters?
Maybe.
No, just you, Fritz.
Yeah.
I wrote the Twitter question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What do you think the poll is at?
I think they're enjoying the futility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me go with 73%.
Higher.
Oh, wow. Even higher.
Yeah.
83%?
Yeah, higher.
Wow.
Ooh, boy.
93%?
93.7% are enjoying the futility.
Yeah, there you go.
It's just like, it's gotten to a place for me where it feels like it's over.
So, no. No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, just to be clear, not the Eagles-Cowboys thing.
Yes.
The Cowboys as like a good team or a threat. It's just they've hit. There's something about this Micah Parsons thing where it feels like the end of something.
So here's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Just a smidgen.
Okay.
That it's a rallying thing for them.
Oh, trading Micah.
Yeah.
And everybody says that they're dead.
Yeah, I'm Ewing just theory. Wondering. Because here's the deal. Dak has played pretty good against the Eagles.
Yeah, for sure.
What
yeah.
Is he 9-3 or 10-4 or something like that?
He's got a great record.
Yeah. Well, we usually split against them, right? I mean,
but they haven't had a real Dak. Hasn't been many Jalen Dak.
Yeah, somebody's always.
Well, because it was the Minshew Dak one.
Yeah.
Was that on Christmas or Thanksgiving or something?
That was Christmas. Yeah. I remember that one.
Offense cooked that night.
Or Christmas Eve. It might have been Christmas or Christmas Eve. Either way.
Yeah.
Until we can handle. Now, we don't worry about Dak in the postseason. But regular season, Dak has been a problem for us.
Yeah, last year he wasn't very good. No, we didn't play him last year.
We didn't play him last year.
It feels like the end to me.
This dude lives off the NFC East.
He does. That's his calling card.
Yeah.
The problem is they're starting to feel like just another team.
Yes.
Which is not, that's not that
I'm far. Not ready to go there yet. They still got CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens.
Yeah, but you see, but you're talking the wrong guy. Because Ike's Mr. This is a divisional game. Divisional games are usually divisional games. Ike, in 100 years of knowing Ike doing this show together, has never picked a blowout in a divisional game.
He's right.
Yeah. Ever.
He's right. I won't be picking one Thursday either.
You respect the NFC East.
I do.
It's going to be a blowout on Thursday night.
I hope you're right, though.
I can feel it.
I hope you're right.
215-592-9494. Furry Bruce in D.C. You're on WIP. What's up, Furry Bruce?
Furry Bruce.
Hey, I love it. I'll do a whoo. I might change my costume to an Eagle costume if we win another Super Bowl.
Ooh. Taking everybody to Pound Town.
Well, wait a minute.
What costume?
He's a furry.
His furry costume.
Oh, God.
But an eagle doesn't have fur.
Oh, yeah, feathers.
No, they have fur.
Hold on.
It's not fur, though.
Let's break it down, though. It's a fur-like texture.
No. Have you ever felt a feather? It's nothing like fur.
Oh, it's hair?
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. What is it, then?
It's a feather.
It's a feather.
But it's hair.
No, it's not.
It's not hair. It's pretty close.
No, it's not.
No, I mean, you know, hey, there's people that have like a best friend. You know, they're different animals. So
yeah, Bruce, I just don't think I'd want to snuggle up next to a bird.
An eagle. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, to make it clear, they don't snuggle.
They don't? Oh, right.
They hunt.
Oh, do they?
No, he was
take it down a notch. Yeah, take it down a notch. Yeah.
Does it just feel good? There it is.
What was that?
Oh man! So this question about the Cowboys, I take great pleasure in watching them squirm, cry, and all that. I'm just a Cowboy sadist, you know. I mean,
oh wow!
Look, I want maximum pain on them. I want them to feel it. And Stewardess Jim, you know, all of these cockroaches, they're
hiding
now. You know, there's no table scraps for them to feed off. So the cockroaches are standing in bug holes where the hell they need to be. And I just can't wait until Thursday when we skull drag them duckers up and down the field.
What are they called?
Huh?
I think it was all clean. It felt weird.
Yeah, it felt bad. Yeah. Just like being a furry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
it's all good, though. We're looking to have fun, guys.
All right, brother. I think maybe once the Eagle season is over and we're in that sort of area where we don't have a ton going on, maybe a deep dive with Bruce on the furry thing.
Yeah.
Well, please don't.
Deep dive.
It's not because I know we're exiting joke season.
Yes.
Yeah. And now we're entering into serious season.
Yes. Yeah. This is Ike's serious time.
You don't want to mess around furry Bruce?
Yeah. Oh man, I'm gonna miss our 5 o'clock hour.
4:30 to 5:30.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it's the best. Let's talk about the baseball team. Is playing pretty well.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Says Jackie Baseball.
Finally,
come on, baby.
That was game of the year.
Yeah. So like, listen, Spike texted me early, and I felt the same way. I was getting ready to tweet, there's no shot they're going to win today.
Yeah.
They had a Sunday night game. They got on the road. They're facing Mizorowski, which when they face a rookie starter who's like a sensation, I think they always lay down.
And Taiwan. No offense.
Yeah, he's fine. He's been all right. We were pro-Taiwan.
Yeah.
But, man, like, they kept fighting back yesterday. And that easily win of the year against a very, very good Brewers team.
That was awesome. I didn't see it coming, which, by the way, once again proves the fact, if you don't think your team's going to win and they win, it's the best feeling in the world.
True.
Because I went into that game sure they were going to lose, but just the way that they won it was great. The fact that it came on the backs of Bader and Marsh to a certain extent, and they had, like, you know, the Stott error that kills you in a lot of games, right? Like they had.
And by the way, maybe the most shocking moment of the season:
the Stott error.
The Stott error.
Yep.
Never makes an error.
But the fact that they just kept coming back and ended up winning it, and then ended up having the one guy left in the bullpen that you actually feel good about, Duran, in the ninth, it was a great win. Absolutely great win. 100%.
That team does not let up, man. And you had better be ready to play all nine innings against Milwaukee.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
These dudes,
they don't stop.
No.
Yeah.
Well, they're their manager is an ex-college baseball coach. Yeah. They play like a college baseball team.
Yeah, they
like,
just put pressure on you
they put
all
pressure,
the time.
They did a old school hit and run the other day. Yesterday,
yep.
I was almost taken aback.
Yeah,
like they play good defense. They don't beat themselves. They are they're good.
Yep.
They're still mostly like 2015 Hawks, but they're definitely still a pretty good team.
2015 Hawks.
Well,
man.
By the way, they are the sort of kind of team that ends up getting your second baseman to make an error like that, who never makes an error. It just feels like against a team like that, they will just keep coming and coming and coming until you break.
And I know this might be a hyperbolic statement, but is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Well, let me hear what this is.
Let me hear what I'm saying. All right, hold on. Yeah. Let me take it down a notch.
All right.
But like, I don't know if they win that game pre-Bader. Like, I think Bader has infused a level of, like, cockiness. And it's what I wanted from him was, like, they needed a guy like him that had a little bit of an edge that could spark the team a little bit. Like, what a pickup he's been.
Yeah. You know what? The mannerisms, even in the batter's box.
Oh yeah,
you know the
little butt wiggle in between every pitch.
Everything, man.
The purple batting gloves.
The pop up slide at home.
Yeah,
looks a little bit like Trey. I mean, the ease in which he plays center field.
Yes. The cockiness he plays center field. He's backpedaling
the balls.
I like it. Yeah,
or
the Bader T-shirt. Yesterday,
I'm sure
immediately.
A jersey or just a T-shirt?
Regular T-shirt.
Okay.
This is Darth Bader.
I'm in. I like him.
Should have got Master on it, but whatever.
Yeah, no.
You're all class.
It said what it said.
I also like that Bader, yesterday, immediately after he crossed the plate, I think Stott was coming up next, but before Stott hit the double, he was talking to Stott, I think, about what the pitcher was throwing. Like, that little stuff, I think, just matters. Like, guy's some winning vibes to him.
Ball player.
He's a ball player. Remember Stephen Kwan? Who needs him?
I don't know. I would like that.
We'll get
him
this offseason.
Imagine if we had two ball players in the outfield.
I know.
But give Marshy
shout
out. Huge.
Dude,
he's been playing well.
Hit number 300 since May 1st?
Yeah, it's just at this point, it's just a good season from Marsh. He had a bad first 2 weeks.
Yeah, when you start saying since May 1st, that's when the season started.
Well, because he went 0 for May. He went 0 for April.
Then he got hurt.
It was crazy.
But it's ever since he went 0 for April. He got hurt, right? And he went down for a quick rehab thing.
Yeah.
And since the rehab thing, he's been great.
Yep. By the way, there's a couple additions to the team they made. But speaking of Bader, so it's pretty evident to me that Stubbsy is back.
Yeah.
Listen to this cut from Thompson postgame talking about Bader, of course, the star of yesterday's game, but also what's going on in the background.
Has Bader given the team kind of like an edge since he's come here?
Yeah, I love him. I love him. He's, he's performing. Him and Marsh had great days today, and he's performing and like he's a very confident person, but he's a good person.
Dude,
Chief Vibes Officer's back.
It's the Armentani brothers.
Yep.
They got him a new mix. I'm sure as soon as they heard Stubbsy was coming back, he had the MP3 in his in his email box from the Armentani brothers, just being like, "Here it is, we're back, baby." Yep.
I haven't heard that all year.
Yep.
The second Stubbsy's back, and Thompson, I don't know if he's a club guy.
Yeah,
but it sounded like a club. So, big question I think off the Braves weekend and the win yesterday, is the Mets series behind you?
Nope.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Out.
Nope.
Yeah, it was behind me when they left.
No. Because we're gonna
let it go, Spike.
I'm not. Because we're gonna let me tell you when it's gonna come back for you.
When we match up against
October 2nd or whatever, when we find out that the Mets beat the Dodgers in the first round of the playoffs, and now we gotta play the friggin' Mets, and all of these bad feelings will come back. Let me put it this way.
It will come back then for sure.
I don't want them to forget it. And it's like this. I don't want them to wallow in what happened.
Sure.
I don't want them to over-focus on what happened. I do think there is a lot of value in saying that's behind us. We're moving forward. But the reality is, if you don't face it, if you're not realistic with yourself about what happened, then when you're in that situation again, you're not going to know how to deal with those feelings when they're there. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
Because as soon as they go to Citi Field and they're 0 for their first 12,
it starts to creep in the back of your mind.
Yeah. And then somebody will have an error, and it's like, oh no, here. So I just want them to, I don't want them to live in it. I don't want them to toil in it, but I also don't want them to forget it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was saying. When I'm saying I got past it, it doesn't mean that I believe they can go up to New York and win. I'm just saying I've gotten over the sweep.
Yes, yes.
And we've moved on. The Braves series was good, and there's a good start to this series. But you're right. If we have to go up there, no, I'm going to be nervous.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Without question.
I will say, I it took me a little longer to get over the Mets series than even I anticipated. Like, when Schwarber hit the home runs and they scored 19 runs,
yeah, that kind of...
A part of me was like,
yeah.
But it was also like, you could have done a little more against the Mets, yeah. You know?
Well,
he went 0 for the Mets series. And
he did. He did.
Schwarber hit the 4 home runs. I kept hearing from people, oh, what did you say about Schwarber during the Mets series? I'm sorry. Did this, the 4 home
it
runs.
Just didn't happen against the Mets.
Yeah, during the Braves when they're up 15-3. This is the same as the Mets series? No. I want him to have some of those home runs in the Mets series.
Yeah.
Other thing that happened over the weekend real quick, Nick Castellanos, a little spicy about being taken.
Is this going to be a problem?
Nah, I don't.
I mean, he's gonna have to get over it.
That's really what I'm saying. He needs to get over this.
I think we'll get the same Casty in the field, and I think it appears to me as if everybody else is having a good time.
Right.
So he's not ruining everybody else's good time,
and that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
If he wants to wallow in it by himself, that's fine. As long as it's not starting to affect the other guys.
Doesn't seem like it.
Because those guys in the Kepler and Bader and Marshy being out there, that's. That's the defense you want out there, lady.
Yep, absolutely.
It was like, so, like, Trey hits the walk-off. Castellanos couldn't look less interested in getting out there and celebrating with his teammates. Like, he's going to—I understand the competitive side, not wanting to get pulled from a game, and I do understand that.
That's not competitive. And I'm not—this is not directed at you.
No, yeah.
But I know this is a way that Rob Thompson has to spin this.
Yes.
This is selfish.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is selfish behavior.
Of course.
Because if it was anybody else, that's what we would call it.
Right.
Right? That's what we would call
it. He should take a page out of the Jalen book.
Like, yes.
When Jalen couldn't throw the ball anymore, he was obviously not happy about it. There's no way he was. I'm sure he was glad they were winning, but he made a couple of comments along the way that let you know he wanted to throw the football. But he didn't let it become
faster,
a major
thing. Issue and all that stuff, like Cassidy, you guys got a chance to do this. I'm not going to harp on it, but I'm just saying, it's not rooted in being competitive.
No, no,
it's rooted in selfishness.
Absolutely. I have one other Phillies thing after yours.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. I also made a signing I want to get to.
Okay,
as all well. Right. So, but listen, we got to talk about our friends at National Appliance Warehouse, Spike.
Yes, our buddies at National Appliance Warehouse.
You know how last week, you know, we always talk about you're going to get the best price at National Appliance Warehouse.
Always.
Guaranteed by Price Assure.
And tax-free Delaware.
Yeah, of course. Those two big things. We also talk about how they always have great savings events going on, and they had the Labor Day mega sale going on last week. Well, guess what, Spike? You're in luck.
What?
They extended it.
What?
Yes.
But Labor Day's over.
I know.
Doesn't even matter.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
They're extending the Labor Day mega sale at National Appliance Warehouse.
Till when?
God,
for right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't even know.
Easy.
Okay.
Just saying, it's been extended.
Okay.
All so right. If you've been wondering what
get
are those
now.
Guys yelling about with National Appliance Warehouse, don't you worry. Get down there now. So, you know, best price. Also, great appliances, Sub-Zero, Cove, and Wolf, 100 brands, 15,000 square foot showroom. You're going to get the right appliance. And of course, on top of that, you're going to get an industry leading team there to take care of you as well. You walk in there, they treat you like family, the good part of the family, and truly make buying appliances an absolute blast. So go to nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, Tom Fritz sent you.
All right. Why don't you do your Walker Buehler thing, and then we can talk about the real thing.
He's allowed one run in 19 World Series innings. So how'd you like that? So first off, I think it's good. It's a first of no risk signing at all. There is some Taiwan insurance here. If Taiwan falls off a cliff, they can go six man, which they're going to go six man.
Yeah, it spreads everybody out a little bit.
Spread the starters out to make sure they're as fresh as possible. He can pitch out of the bullpen. You know, they cut Joe Ross, so they don't really have a long man right now. If he's not pitching well enough to stay in the rotation, they can put him in the bullpen. And like in watching some of his last couple of outings over the weekend, arm's not cooked. Like it's the command was off, and I think the Phillies think they can fix that. But he's got some stones. He's been a big game pitcher for a long time. Closed the World Series out last year for the Dodgers. I think also having intel on the Dodgers is important. I mean, they're your big rival in the NL. For a guy that's been there for 10 years, I think that also could help the Phillies. So again, it's almost no risk besides him being could be not very good anymore. But it gives him a nice six man, could pitch out of the bullpen, and some intel in the Dodgers.
No risk signing, all for it. His, like, deeper numbers, not very good.
Mm-mm.
Like, 10th percentile of everything in baseball. Like, nothing.
We're going to fix him.
Yeah, okay. There's not, because I went and I was looking, I was like, oh, maybe he's just not lucky. I was like, oh, no, no. It doesn't seem like he's pitching very well. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, if throw a couple of starts in there, push everybody's six-man rotation.
The other guy they signed is a former PSAC guy that dominated the Bloomsburg Huskies in 2013, 2014, Tim Mesa.
The guy who pitched yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked nasty yesterday. Actually.
I had no clue who that was.
Yeah, well, listen.
Looked pretty nasty, I thought.
He cooked against us.
Yeah.
He's like the one guy that was here. I was like, who the hell? Was it Seth Johnson or something?
Yes.
Seth Green? I'm like, who the hell is this?
Seth Johnson.
Seth Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah, is he still on the team?
He's in AAA.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, yeah. So Lou Trevino, PSAC guy. Tim Mesa, PSAC guy. They respect the PSAC.
Is he related to Lee Trevino?
No, I think we asked that. I think we talked about that last week.
Well, we don't know that he's not.
He could be related to Lee Trevino.
We don't know, yeah. One last thing from the weekend. Not to harsh anybody's vibe.
Oh, God. What happened?
It's just like... It's game four of the Braves series, which they lost.
And, Sunday night.
Yeah. And, a national TV.
Nationally televised game.
So it must mean that the showman has to wear the other team's colors again. Like an idiot.
And Come on, man.
Well, by the way.
Well, he is the showman.
By the way, ruined another rundown. Same game. He is now 1-for-7 in rivalry pack games. 0-2. And like... Here's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
The attaboy on the sneakers.
Oh, man.
Brother, that was 2-3 years
Take
ago.
Take that, Arcia.
Guy's not even on the team anymore. Is Arcia even in the Major League Baseball anymore?
He's not on the team anymore.
No, he hasn't been on the team since last year.
Well, they cut him earlier this year.
I didn't realize that.
He caught on with the Rockies.
Yeah, it's like... This is so lame and dumb, and he got it, you know what? I thought he got the message after the first time he did it, and they shut off the Instagram.
Well, at least he didn't wear it on the road.
Yeah, but it's dumb. And by the way, the Braves, that's not even really a Braves color. Yellow? Who looks at the Braves and thinks yellow? Can we all agree attaboy on the shoes is friggin' lame? I know how much you guys want Bryce to talk to us at spring training next year, but can we admit attaboy
that's
on
a staple.
Can we admit attaboy on the shoes is dumb?
Stop doing it. Because it was already there
for the Braves.
Stop doing it. Stop doing the rivalry pack. Stop it.
Are you going to say that to him with our spring training interview next year?
I have no problem telling him. I think it was dumb.
Please don't do the rivalry pack.
He's got to stop it.
First of all, he's not going to stop it.
Let me ask you this.
It's Under Armour.
God, doesn't have enough money. How about this?
Well, if they gave him the extension, he wouldn't have to do this.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, he's fighting for his life out
you
there.
You both know you're wrong. Okay, let's say it's Phillies-Mets in the playoffs.
Yes.
Do you want Bryce Harper wearing the rivalry pack?
Probably not.
No.
Considering how you're going to react to it.
Any of us.
No, you're leading this.
Well, there are a lot of people that agree with me on this.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're leading them.
Okay, well, I will lead them to this. This is unacceptable. We would not accept it from any other star in Philadelphia. It's got to stop. You did what you needed to do with Under Armour.
Yes.
You had an agreement with them. I know they're marketing it. I know there's probably a whole behind-the-scenes thing.
Yep.
Like, let it go, though.
Do we have any more NL East teams?
We do. We have the Marlins.
And the Mets.
And the Mets. Yeah.
Oh, well, he has not unveiled the Marlins rivalry pack yet. He will unveil that.
When they play the Marlins.
Wait, didn't he wear it in... Didn't he wear the Marlins one in New York?
He wore it in New York.
He wore teal.
When he switched. Yeah.
Maybe he forgot. He didn't bring enough batting gloves that he knew the rivalry pack was a bad idea.
No, he got bullied out of the orange and blue.
Yeah, I know he did. So he didn't bring enough others to where he had to break out the Marlins.
You know what I heard he's going to do tomorrow against the Brewers? Instead of wearing sneakers and batting gloves, he's going to come out with a brick of cheese on his feet and beer for batting gloves. And that's going to be his Milwaukee rivalry pack. Look at Bryce.
At least he's playing well.
Yes.
Yeah, give him that.
Yeah, he's playing fine.
Okay.
Yeah, except for the rundown.
The rivalry game.
The rundown is absurd.
Yes.
I hope today they're at the ballpark.
Just
like Little League, figuring out how to do the rundown.
The rivalry pack.
I know, it's really bad.
It's the worst thing he's ever done.
We can't do anything. Yeah, we can't defend it. I'm just saying.
Dude, go get more Fanatic stuff.
Yeah.
You
put the lime green on, man.
Yeah, put the Betsy Ross something or,
I'll take a cheesesteak pander.
Yeah, cheesesteak, something. Rocky. Do your Rocky pack. All right. Elliot joins us next. 215-592-9494. The first official Tuesdays with Elliot of the
football
Eagles season. Find out what happened during practice today. Talk about the ridiculous lie that Nick Sirianni told. It'll all be fun. That is coming up next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.